Back. God bless y'all this morning. Amen. Amen. Again, we are Progressive Missionary Baptist Church, and we welcome you here. We're going to hear another song by our youth ministry, and the preacher's going to come back and preach. Said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man descending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, "For this reason, I have told you that no one can come to me unless he is granted by the Father." Because of this, many of the disciples turned back and no longer went with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Let's hear verse 66 again. "Because of this, many of his disciples turned away and no longer went about with him." I want to use this for a subject. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. If you were raised in my generation, in my era, you know that every night there was a different game show that came on TV or on the radio. And out of all the game shows that have been on, only a few of them have stood the test of time. And one of them is The Price is Right, which still has a high daytime rating, more than 35 years after their debut. Wheel of Fortune, where contestants have been spinning the wheel since 1975. Yeah. Jeopardy, with 27 daytime Emmys and 37 million viewers weekly. Let's Make a Deal, that requires contestants to have a little instinct and a lot of love. Hollywood Squares, where people got to get a chance to play with celebrities in this game show based on tic-tac-toe. And To Tell the Truth, where a team of celebrity panelists hear a story and then they have to determine which one of the three contestants are associated with that story. Yeah. And their payoffs are based on the contestants' ability to fool the panel. And y'all, this show aired on television from 1956 to 1968. And it asked the question, will the real John Doe please stand up? But y'all, the pilot of the show actually aired in the Book of John in chapter 6. Because it's this episode to tell the truth, that Jesus is able to discern who's really committed to him and who's trying to fool the panel. And this is an episode of Will the Real Disciples Please Stand Up? Will the True Believers Raise Their Hand? Will the Sold Out for God Step Up and Step Out? And in John chapter 6, we find out that the contenders can't fool the panel and the contestants can't fool the jury, because the contest comes to us after Jesus feeds the 5,000. And we all know the story, because Jesus had a long day of teaching and preaching. And the Bible says that he looks out at a crowd and he sees 5,000 men, not counting women and children, who have come together and there's no food. So Jesus tells the disciples to bring what can be found. And there's a boy there who has 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And Jesus takes the bread, he multiplies it, and he feeds 5,000 men, not counting women and children. And because of this miracle, Jesus comes an immediate success. And what started out as a small church turns into a mega church overnight. And now 5,000 members have joined based on one miracle. And they are now called the disciples of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is an immediate success. And there's a magnitude and a multitude of people who are now following him. And Jesus finds out what somebody else already knows. And that's the pastor and church folk can wear you out. Yeah. And so the next morning, he gets up to leave Galilee and he goes to Capernaum. But I want us to see how faithful these disciples start out. Because these disciples who have joined Jesus, they wake up the next morning and they find out that Jesus isn't where they thought he was. So in good church folk fashion, they search for Jesus, to find Jesus, to keep following Jesus. So they search for Jesus. And they find Jesus so they can keep following Jesus. And that's what all of us should do, because we ought to search for the Lord. We ought to find the Lord. And we ought to follow his commandments and his instructions. And they find Jesus in Capernaum. And when Jesus sees this crowd coming together again, he gives them a sermon in verses 22 to 59 called the Bread of Heaven. And Jesus says with them that he is the bread of life, and that he brings eternal life, and that they would receive him and believe in him, that they would never be hungry or never be thirsty. And everything seems to be well and good. But Jesus asserts that the crowd doesn't really understand what he's saying. So he asks him in verse 61, does this offend you? And that word offend that Jesus uses means to lose confidence in the authority of somebody that you should trust. So after Jesus preaches his sermon, called the Bread of Heaven in verses 22 through 59, he turns around in verse 61 and he asks them, have you lost confidence in my authority? And y'all, in one of the saddest statements in the Bible, the people who had followed Jesus from Galilee to Capernaum, the people who had eaten good from 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, the people who had been supporting Jesus, verse 66 tells us that they turned back and they no longer went about with him. So y'all, this crowd that had been following Jesus now say that we ain't going no further. We can't take this no more. We go about as far as we can go. So y'all, they're disciples, but there's a limit to what they will and won't do for God. They're disciples, but they decided that they don't want to follow Jesus anymore. They're disciples, so they long for worship every Sunday, but they're no longer searching for Jesus. They're disciples, and they have their Bibles and their Bible apps, but they show up for Bible study every Wednesday, and they hadn't read the lesson. So they're disciples, and they come in and shout at shouting time, but they aren't committed to Jesus. They're disciples, and they look religious and spiritual behind their masks, but they're offended and they've lost confidence in their Savior. And y'all, I came by to ask you this morning, what would cause somebody not to want to follow Jesus anymore? What would cause a disciple to say there's a limit to what I will and won't do for the Lord? What is it God can ask you to do that would cause you to walk away from him? What causes disciples of the Lord to turn back and walk away? So I want to propose to us that the problem with this crowd is the same problem that with the crowd that you worship with this morning. And that is that they don't understand the meaning of the miracle. Because one of the things that separates the Gospel of John from Matthew, Mark, and Luke is that John didn't record the same miracles that they did. Because John's focus wasn't on the outcome of the miracles or the wonders, but his focus was on the sign and the indicators of the miracles. So John doesn't just talk about the outcome or the result of the miracle, but John talks about the sign and the indications of that miracle. Because John wants us to know that every good work that Jesus does is not random or unplanned, but that Jesus performed the signs to give us a miracle and the indicator of who he really is. So Jesus didn't do things because they needed to be done. Jesus didn't heal you just because you asked him to. Jesus didn't bless you because you wanted him to. But when the Lord works a miracle in your life, he's trying to open up the eyes of the people around you so you and them will understand who he really is. So when he works signs in the Gospel of John, we'll find that the miracles are connected to Jesus and the signs and the statement when he says that I am. So in John chapter 4, when Jesus meets the woman at the well, he tells her that I am the living water. In John chapter 9, there's a boy who was born blind. And when Jesus opened up his eyes to give him sight, he tells him, I am the light of the world. Yeah. In John chapter 11, Jesus stands at the grave of Lazarus, and he resurrects Lazarus. And he reminds Mary and Martha that I am the resurrection and the light. Yeah. Because the miracles are meant to give a sign to who Jesus really is. Yeah. So in John chapter 6, Jesus breaks bread, and he multiplies it to feed 5,000. Yeah. He turns around and he reminds them that I am the bread of life. Yes. And whoever eats will never be hungry, and believes in me will never be thirsty. Yes. Now I need y'all to see how this drama plays out. Because Jesus multiplies 5 loaves of bread around verse 11. And he feeds 5,000. Then the next day in verse 35, he says, I am the bread of life. Yes. And y'all, right after that, this same crowd that got the blessing the day before, the same crowd that ate good the day before in verse 41, they start to complain because Jesus said, I am the bread of heaven that came down. Now, y'all don't miss this because Jesus had already broken the bread. He's already fed 5,000 with that bread. They eat the bread and receive the bread. And Jesus has to remind them in verse 26 that y'all don't understand the meaning of the miracle because y'all are looking at me. Because y'all saw signs because you ate your fill of the loaves. Because I broke the bread. I multiplied the bread. I fed y'all the bread. Y'all ate the bread. So y'all got the blessing, but you missed the sign of who I really am. And how can we receive from the Lord? How can we accept from the Lord? How can we get from God and not understand the signs and the evidence of who he really is? Because the Lord doesn't just feed us because we're hungry. God doesn't just bless us because we logged on for service. God doesn't just show up because we need him to. But he does it so we might have some faith in our hearts and some understanding in our heads of who he really is. And Jesus tells them in verse 29 that I did all of this that you might believe in him and who sent me. So I multiplied the bread so you understand that God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. I give you daily bread. So you'll understand that if you abide in me and my word abides in you, that you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. I bless you when I keep you. So you'll understand that the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. So y'all, the Lord brings a charge against this crowd because they received the outcome of the miracle, but they didn't understand the meaning of what God was doing in their lives. So if you woke up this morning, yeah, and you thought that your phone woke you up, yeah, then you don't understand what God is doing in your life. Yeah. If you went to your closet this morning, yeah, and you can choose what you didn't want to wear, you don't you and you think you got it like that, you don't understand what God is doing in your life. Yeah. If you went to the refrigerator, and you could choose between bacon and sauce, and you thought it is because you had enough good sense to get both, you don't understand what God is doing in your life. If you drove here this morning, and you got here safely, and you thought it was because you was a good driver, you don't understand what God is doing in your life. If you logged on for worship this morning, and you thought it's because you paid your internet bill, you don't understand what God is doing in your life. And you can be in the presence of God every Sunday morning, and act like it's because you've just been good like that. You don't understand what God is doing in your life. Because when we receive the miracles of God in our lives, it ought to give you a sign and some evidence that God is still on the throne, that God is still in my life, and that God still has his hand on me. And y'all, this crowd doesn't understand the meaning of the miracle. Yeah. But watch what Peter says in verse 69. When Jesus asked the 12, do you also want to go away? Yeah. And Peter says, we have come to believe and come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Now, y'all, when you believe something and you know something at the same time, that means that it's not assumed. That means that it's not alleged. That means that it's not so-called. But it's impossible to prove wrong, and it cannot be denied. So Peter says, Lord, I know who you are, because I've seen you do some things in my life that are impossible to prove wrong, and some things that cannot be denied. So y'all, they turn back because they no longer went with Jesus, because they didn't understand the meaning of the miracle. But let me give y'all number two, because they turn back because they no longer went with Jesus. Because they couldn't withstand the struggles of being a disciple. Yes. Because after Jesus multiplies the bread in verse 11, Jesus says in verse 26, y'all out here looking for me today because I worked a miracle for y'all yesterday. Because yesterday you were hungry and I fed you. Yesterday you were hungry and you ate the fill of the loaves. Yesterday you saw the glory of being with me. Yesterday you saw the power of what I can do. And y'all, I got so excited about what I did for y'all yesterday that you showed up today with the expectation that today will be as glorious as yesterday. So Jesus says, I see how y'all do, because you left one ministry to come to another ministry because it was good yesterday. It was easy yesterday. And yesterday was everything that you wanted it to be. And now you following me with the expectation that every day with me is going to be like that. And y'all, in one sermon, they found out that walking with the Lord ain't going to be easy. And they're committed and devoted for one day before they realize this ain't what we signed up for. Because when we left our old church and we came over here to start this ministry, nobody told us it was going to be like this. Because I thought every day was going to be like Sunday. That it was going to be hallelujah moments and thank you, Jesus. And in verse 60, Jesus, and whatever Jesus taught them, whatever Jesus has done, whatever Jesus preached, they say that it's difficult. So y'all, they've been with the Lord for one day, and they found out what sometimes walking with God, some can be different. And I came out to tell somebody this morning who didn't read the fine print in your baptism certificate, because the fine print would have told you that walking with Jesus will sometimes have you misunderstood. Walking with Jesus will sometimes have you lied on, lied to, and lied about. Walking with Jesus will sometimes have you feeling like your labor is in vain. Walking with Jesus will have people calling you everything but a child of God. And is anybody other than me this morning found out that walking with God ain't always easy? But y'all, here's what got me. Because that struggle has only been one day. And doing that one day, ain't nobody cussed them out. Ain't nobody lied on them. Ain't nobody did nothing to them. So that struggle wasn't with other people. But that struggle was Jesus. And they say that this is difficult and hard to accept. Because the biggest struggle with being a disciple of Jesus is not dealing with other people. Because at this point in your Christian journey, you ought to be mature enough to handle being lied on. Because this ain't the first time folk have lied on you. At this point in your Christian journey, You ought to be able to handle people not understanding. So that shouldn't bother you too much. At this point of your Christian journey, you ought to know that every sanctified smile ain't your friend. And that everybody in your corner don't have your back. And at this point on your journey, you ought to be dealing with church folk and other folk. But the hardest part about being a disciple and following Jesus is when you're trying to walk by faith with a God that you don't always understand. And with the God, his ways are not our ways. And with a God who sometimes answers our prayers with a not yet or a hold on. A God who doesn't always work the miracle but give the blessing. Because my biggest struggle is not with other saints and ain'ts, but my biggest struggle is with the Lord. Because when I struggle to walk in Job's shoes, and I'm trying to be blameless and upright, but I lose everything anyway. I struggle when I walk in Mary and Martha's shoes, and I ask the Lord to heal a family member, but they die anyway. I struggle when I walk in Peter's shoes, and I'm trying to be faithful and telling the good news, but I still get knocked down and cut down. I struggle when I walk in Paul's shoes, and I'm trying to give the Lord everything, but when I ask him to remove some thorns out of my way, he keeps telling me no. Because when I'm dealing with church folk and other people, I can call on the Lord to help me. But who do you call on when your struggle is with the Lord? And what these followers of God found out is that it's hard dealing with a God who you don't understand. And in verse 67, it tells us that Jesus asked the 12, "Now that y'all know that this ain't easy, do y'all want to go away too?" And y'all watch what happens in verse 68. Because this is the only place in the Bible where Jesus asked a question. And the disciples answer with a question. And he doesn't rebuke them or get them told. So Jesus says, "Are y'all going to leave too?" And Peter says, "Where are we going to go? Because we tried everything else. And can't nothing hold us together like you can. So it may not always be easy. It may not always be easy going. It may not always be stress free. It may not always be hallelujah and thank you, Jesus. But where else are we going to go?" Now, I know that most of us in here this morning have a reputation to protect. And you want everybody to know that you've been saved and sanctified your whole life. But some of us can acknowledge this morning that there have been some times when we did everything and everybody else but God. Because I've been down some roads that weren't sanctified. I've done some things that God didn't have anything to do with. I made some decisions that I didn't pray about. And can anybody look on that journey and declare that now I'm walking with God? That it can't compare to where I used to be. So y'all, they left because they couldn't understand the meaning of the miracle. They left because they couldn't withstand the struggles of being a disciple. But watch the last one. Because they left because they couldn't enjoy the satisfaction of their Savior. Because they say in verse 34, "Lord, give us this bread always." Because they wanted something that would feed their flesh. And they have connected themselves to Jesus because they wanted him to touch their flesh again. And Jesus reminds them that he didn't come to give them fleshy stuff. Because what I'm offering you is better than bread. What I'm offering you is more satisfying than material things. What I'm offering you, you can't find nowhere else. So Jesus tells them in verse 35 that all that flesh stuff that you want profits nothing. All the tangible blessings profit nothing. All those material blessings profit nothing. All those monetary things profit nothing. Because he has something greater that you can't buy on Amazon. He has something greater that you can't find in a new relationship. He has something better than a promotion and a raise, because what he's offering is eternal life. Then Jesus tells us in verse 49 that your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness and they still died, because they wanted the things of the flesh, but they still died. So now I want to offer you something that's going to touch your soul. Because I've come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundance. I've come to wash away your sins. I've come to redeem and deliver you. Because I've come to give you something more than physical. And that's why Peter says, "Where else are we going to go? Because we have come to believe and we come to know that you are the Holy One of God." Because he realizes two things. That what Jesus is offering, that he's the only one that can offer. Because you're the only one that can create a home in heaven for me. You're the only one that can wash away my sin. Yeah. You're the only one that can create in me a clean heart.
Yeah.
You're the only one that can give me a peace that passes all understanding.
Yeah. Yeah.
And y'all, what Peter was really saying to Jesus is that all that's all I really want you to do. So I don't need more bread, but I want eternal life.
Yeah.
I don't want a new car, but I want to be redeemed. I don't want another degree on the wall, but I want my life to be in your hands. So now I want to ask y'all this morning, what is it that you want from God? What do you really want God to do in your life? Because if all you want the Lord to do is give and say yes to what you want, you're missing the point. If all you want him to do is heal your sickness, you're missing it. If all you want God to do is bless him like you bless her, you're missing it. Because what Peter told God, it's what I want your offer of eternal life.
Yes.
So here's how you can tell who's following Jesus. Because when you really follow with Jesus, your greatest joy comes from what God does in your spirit.
Yes.
Because what really makes me happy is knowing that I am redeemed.
Yes.
What really makes me smile
yes.
is knowing that my earthly house is destroyed.
Yes.
That I have a building from God.
Yes.
A house not made with hands.
Yes.
Eternal in the heavens.
Yes.
If you want to know what makes me glad, it's knowing that God so loved the world. That he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believe in him shall not perish.
Yes.
But have everlasting life.
Yes.
And is that enough to make you rejoice this morning?
Yes.
Is that enough to make you happy this morning?
Yes.
Is that enough to know that you're saved this morning?
Yes.
For you to wave your hand this morning?
Yes.
Is it enough to know that you ain't living in sin?
Yes.
For you to give God the glory? So Lord, deliver me from church folk who need all their bills paid to stay with God. Deliver me from church folk who need a clean bill of health to understand that God is still great and he's greatly to be praised. Deliver me from people who need a promotion and advancement for them to celebrate the goodness of God. Because I need some people that when they think about what can wash away their sins, when they think about what can make me whole again, that they know that it's nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'm on my way to my seat, y'all. But I want to encourage you this morning that I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. And there's no turning back. Though no one goes with me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back. No turning back. God bless y'all. The door of the church is now open.